Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Paul Hamilton with us on the West Her Hotline. Been enjoying my time with Paul in Bulldog's absence here over the holidays. Talked to Paul about how he likes to cook. Cooked a meal for himself. Was that Christmas, Paul? Or one of these days we've been talking, you mentioned dabbling in that. I didn't realize you were as fond of cooking as you might be. Paul?
Mm. Apparently Paul's not prepared to take
that questions. That was you, right? That was Paul, I think. Pretty sure.
We've lost our connection with Paul.
I got my favorite Christmas present, I think I would say. No offense to everyone else and the other presents. A salt table.
No, what's that now?
A big block Himalayan salt table, which you can serve on or, you know, serve with or use for the actual cooking.
Like so, shave salt off it to put in your dishes?
You don't even have to do it. The only thing I've done with it so far is potatoes. Like, this will be pretty easy. Just bake potatoes, and then what you do is quarter them, little dab of butter on each one, and then you set them skin side down on the salt table and smash them. And my daughter was the first to try it. She said, too salty. There was no salt ever applied in the cooking of the potatoes, but it's what the block is made of. And so you can do all kinds of crazy things with well, I don't know if crazy is the word, interesting things with a salt table. Paul, hi.
Hey guys, don't you find it interesting? I was on earlier with Zach and there were no problems at all with the equipment, and then, you know, I come on with you and Zach sabotages the whole thing.
I think Bulldog's the difference.
I think it's because of me, Paul. You're taking it out on me that I haven't been around. You've been saying back to you guys and all these pregame interviews, and I haven't been here. There have been no guys.
Well,
at least I remembered today that it won't be you guys on the pregame. So,
right, 8 o'clock, Steve Foley Law pregame, Sabres and Avalanche. Last time we talked was before the game in Dallas. What were your takeaways?
Well, again, they just gave up way too many shots, 70 shots now in the last two games. You know, in those three games, starting with Boston, they had given up 21 shots per game and played very well defensively. And now it's taken, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to stand on his head just to keep them in the game. You know, so that's been a problem so far. And yeah, it was 2-2 in the third period, but it was only 2-2 in the third period because a guy like Luukkonen was standing on his head. So, and the other thing was, too, you know how they beat St. Louis partly because of Luukkonen and partly because they won the special teams battle. They had two power play goals. They didn't even get a power play opportunity. They're 4 for their last 10 on the power play. There was one power play opportunity in the whole game, which tells me, as we see every year in the NHL, when the second half of the season starts, we go to playoff officiating.
So the power plays will be few and far between is the point here, right?
In Colorado's last game, there was one power play also.
Because I'm waiting to say something about like it being indicative of a lack of effort, right? If you can't draw a single power play in an entire 60-minute game.
It's not that everybody's of good cheer around the holidays. It couldn't be that. It wouldn't be that.
Well, Dallas only got one power play.
Right. So Luukkonen kind of stole their last win and then could not managed to steal this Dallas game, basically, is what I get.
Yeah, he played well enough to maybe steal the game, but unfortunately for them, it was 2-2 midway through the third period. They had three shots until they pulled the goaltender and had two more, so they had five shots the whole third period. Really, the only time they looked like the team that played for those three games against Boston, Chicago, and the Islanders was after Zucker scored to make it 1-1 in the second period. It was like midway through the second period. They hadn't shown up yet. And then for the rest of the period, they were the better team. Dallas hardly had any time in the offensive zone. The Sabres kind of switched it around. But it got right back to what we were watching earlier in the game for the third period. As I said, they only managed three shots, 5-on-5, until the goaltender was pulled.
So what is left to accomplish here at this point, Paul? Like, are you paying attention to the standings?
Yes, because it's my job.
Right.
If I was a fan, no, I would not be. To me, they're out of it. They're not mathematically out of it. But, you know, it's going to take a 7-10 game winning streak to just – I mean, they won three in a row, and they didn't even get out of the cellar of the Eastern Conference.
Right.
They were still there. So it's going to take a 7-10 game winning streak to get them rolling again. And there's nothing at all that I've seen – from this group in over 2 years, it tells me they can't even win over three games. You know, four times this year they've had three-game winning streaks, and they've been foiled trying to get that fourth win each and every time. So I remember Alex Tuch saying last year that at the end of the year, going, if you can't even win more than three games, you're not a playoff team. He's right. I mean, here the Colorado Avalanche, all of a sudden they've taken off, and they've won, 9 out of 11, I believe. You know, so, you know, they've gone on a fairly lengthy, and most good teams do go on lengthy winning streaks. And, you know, if you're hoping that, yeah, but you could upset the Avalanche. Well, Colorado's 21-5 against the Sabres in their last 26 games and 10-2 in their last 12. So, yeah, you could.
That's right. Well, it would be a nice turnaround because really I don't want to say the trouble first started, but, you know, that home game against them around, you know, just after Thanksgiving, I think it was, if not before. I'm trying to remember when that game was. Anyway, that was real trouble. The 4-0 lead, 4-1 in the third period, that collapse against Colorado. Like, if they could get this one, I don't know, I could see some fans going, okay, you know, put that behind you and maybe get on a roll here. Right, I can even hear you. If they get one here, then maybe, you know, no, it's not a 7 or 8 game winning streak, but it could be 8 out of 10 or something like that. You know?
That, I think, I would say was the game where everybody sort of threw their hands up,
right,
about the season. Not that it was over yet, but the point you just made, I don't think anybody wanted to have the conversation or, you know, consider the thought about, well, if they, because that was come back from California, lose 1-0, Vancouver, and then you have the Avs game where, like, for half of it, you think, all right, we're still pretty good. This is interesting. Yeah. And then one game can do that when it's already been 13 years, I think,
yeah,
you know, and if that sort of bled into the locker room, the players would have had their own thoughts about it. I think that was, for me, that was that game this year.
I think it absolutely bled in the locker room because that's when, you know, the mentally fragile team showed up for many of the games. Because they were ahead in a lot of those games in that 13-game winless streak, but they kept blowing leads. It was, I believe, Detroit where they
5-3.
Had 3 goals.
Third period, yeah.
Goals in the third period,
yep.
And they blew that game. I mean, it's just they're just not mentally tough to be able to get over. You know, even if something like that happens, remember when Comrie gave up 10, and didn't the Sabres score 9 their next game? After they gave up 10, so at least the next game they recovered. The Sabres, it didn't recover.
No, they
after
spiraled.
That game.
Right.
Paul Hamilton on the Westher Hotline. Well, A couple of the younger players we've been talking about, Quinn getting on the score sheet, Kulik with a two-goal game. How does sort of the overall look in terms of the forwards? Let's just leave it at that at this point. Cousins is interesting here, too. Some back and forth on, like, what he looks like, what he's accomplishing on the ice. How do you feel about the forward group in general right now?
Yeah, Quinn and Cousins at times were looking good, but still, if you look at the overall numbers, they weren't great, you know, for the two of them. And then Quinn was the guy last game where, you know, he, first of all, he brings the puck out from the side wall to the slot area in the defensive zone, which kind of leaves you scratching your head. And then he fans on his pass and then panicked. You could just see it. And just swung his stick and just hit the puck. And he handed it right to Robertson in the slot. Wrong guy to hand it to. You know, probably any guy would have scored from there, but not him. You don't hand it to him. And it was just utter panic. I mean, you still, even though you made a mistake bringing the puck out from the wall to the middle of the ice, even after you fan, just flip it. Flip it up and out. Don't go, oh, no, and almost wind up for a golf shot and hand it right to the other team. It was just like you scratch your head going, wow. And he, you know, for a couple of years there, I liked the way he played. I thought he was a very intelligent player, but I think right now he's just so on the edge because, you know, he hadn't been playing well, and I think it affected him mentally. And then, you get plays like that after he scored a couple of goals in a couple of games.
Yeah, Paul, I know you've talked to him, you've been around him. He is maybe, he's the biggest mystery on this team to me. Because everything about his game, to me, seemed to really line up as, like, a very promising, like, the whole thing was just arcing up. I didn't think there was anything fluky about, I didn't think he necessarily would be a 30-goal scorer or build on that, but still, it's a really nice flag to plant. And his all-around game, I mean, he's almost a disaster on a pretty regular basis, I feel like. And I just don't know what the heck happened to the kid.
Yeah, he in this little stretch, he had a couple of good offensive games where he looked like himself a little bit and maybe minimized the other stuff. And then that happened in Dallas. And that wasn't just that. He just didn't look good at all, neither did Cousins, in against Dallas. To a point where I was a little surprised at the morning skate today when I saw that line was still together. And maybe Lindy Ruff's thinking, well, they put some points together for a couple of games. We'll keep it for a minute. But he couldn't have been happy with that play that Quinn made. I wondered then, it's like, well, is his night over? It wasn't.
Yeah.
He got back on the ice. But, you know, it just makes you wonder. And quite honestly, Bulldog, I did think he's a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
With the types of goals he scored, with the kind of shot that he has, he was on a 27-goal pace last year. Now, he didn't play. I don't even think he played 30 games. Well, he didn't play even 30 games last year. But when he did play, even though he was coming back from injury, he was on a 27-goal pace.
I'm going to clarify. I thought we were talking about Cousins when I said everything I just said. So I'm sorry. I'm rusty, Paul. They're on the same line. They're having a tough time.
Oh.
But I segued into Cousins off of Quinn, and it's my fault for not paying close enough attention.
I think Cousins' 30-goal year was an outlier.
Right.
I wouldn't surprise me if we never saw that again.
I mean, I don't know. In the contract, it feels like if you could find a way to move him, you're going to get your head beaten in the trade. I think, you know, because but how realistic would you be about him becoming that guy again somewhere else if they did trade him?
I don't know if he'd be the 30-goal guy, but, you know, figuring out how to be a two-way player that scores 25 and can be your number two centerman. Now, there's a lot of interest out there for him, but it's not. See, everybody, a lot of people, even though the insiders are framing this that Adams is shopping Cousins, that's not what's happening here. Other teams are calling on Cousins, which actually at $7.1 million a year surprises me a little. I guess they feel that if they can get their hands on him, they'll get him back to where he needs to be.
Right.
But for that reason that I think you're talking about, it could blow up in your face easily. Because if he straightens himself out mentally, you got a darn good hockey player. But does he do that? I don't know. And just a change of scenery when you get out of this losing atmosphere, this drudgery atmosphere that's right. been here for 3 years, or I'm sorry, 13 years. Well, a lot of other players have really done well when they've gotten out of this atmosphere here. So, you know, but Adams is not shopping him, but he certainly, and should be, he's listening. I mean, it's all right. What do you want to offer me? You never know when the offer is too good to pass up.
Yeah. Yeah, the explanation for me on Quinn is that the leg injuries took a lot out of him, and maybe he'll get back at some point, but he just has not looked like himself skating, mostly, I would say, at least early in the year. Maybe it's gotten better here a little bit as the season has gone on, and he's sort of maybe ramped up, but yeah, Cousins to me is the big mystery. Like, I just don't understand it.
He's so emotional in the game and wants to do well so badly that it just ties him up in knots. And then it just, and you almost can see it on the ice. And then the frustration, you can see frustration written all over him when he plays. You can tell when he's right. And it just is all over him and his mannerisms and everything. And a lot of it is just, he gets carried away, you know, with frustration that he can't do the right things anymore. It takes over his body.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline for a few more minutes with us here. Sabres are in Colorado to play the Avalanche tonight. Steve Foley Law pregame rolls at 8, game time a little after 9. I think Mike already mentioned him at the top that you've been talking about Jiří Kulík, and that makes sense. He seems to be getting some credit from the coach, maybe most notably, about his all-around play sort of feeding into these opportunities he's starting to create.
Yeah, I think it's noticeable. I was watching in Dallas and making some, getting back in the defensive corner and, you know, winning a couple of battles and helping out the defensemen and helping them get the puck out of the zone. To me, it has been noticeable, his improvement on the defensive end and the winning of battles. I remember one goal that he didn't score, but was because of him, as he got out to the blue line quickly. The other team turned the puck right over to him. Might have been the Chicago game, and he ripped it towards the net and wound up getting a nice assist. They wound up getting a goal out of it. It was all because he hustled to get that turnover. And the play he made in St. Louis, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he made Justin Falk look like a 19-year-old rookie. And then there was no way Fowler was getting him. As he just put the jets on, and then he makes this little move to his left, opens up the goaltender's pads, and slides it right between the legs. I mean, that just kind of gives you an idea maybe what's to come with this kid. That was just a gorgeous goal. But it was effort. He scored a goal beating two guys a couple of games ago, where he just won two battles as he was coming down ice and scored on that play too. That was the Islander game.
I want to throw a nickel on tonight's game going to overtime. The last time the Sabres and Avalanche played a game that went to overtime, Brad Boyes took a shootout attempt for the Sabres.
Holy moly.
Coletta took a penalty in this game. Sorry, Pat. I mean, he could have scored two. I don't know. I see the penalties. Trying to come up with names that feel like a long time ago. That whole team. March of 2012, wow. I believe, is the last. I'm doing this by hand. I think that's the last time they went to overtime. The Sabres are a Bulldog, a fairly respectable minus 142 to win or lose by only one. Like the +1.5 for you if you want it. Minus 142. I don't know if that's good odds. Paul, are you watching more of the juniors?
Not yet. Since we're off time a little bit here, I've been actually trying to get my article up, which I have done. And one thing people will see in it quickly is, yes, Tage Thompson has 5 points in his last four games and points in his last four games. Can you believe in his last 12 games, he has had over two shots once? I mean, he just is not shooting the puck, even though he's on a point streak. And it is worrisome from Ruff, too. You'll hear it in the pregame show that, you know, he needs to get more opportunities and more pucks at the net. You can't have Tage Thompson having two or less shots in 11 out of 12 games.
Sounds right. All right, Paul, thanks for your time today. We'll be listening tonight.
Okay.
Don't, any questions for us? No.
I'm open to it. Sure. He left.
Paul's gone. It's too late.
Could have gotten some cooking questions in, Paul, either direction.
I want to hear more about this salt table because it sounds like you just made a new way to make mashed potatoes. Is how you described what you were doing to those potatoes on the salt table. Paul, hang on. Paul's appearance on WGR is brought and a messier way to make mashed potatoes at that. Paul's appearance with us on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
It seemed like the easiest recipe in the book.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And it went well. But it seemed too salty. I'm definitely not giving up on my salt plates.
All right.
Like sliders are on there. Fajitas. But you're cooking on the salt plate. You might end up baking food in the traditional oven, but then setting up the salt plate on the burners to sort of warm it up. You got to sort of do it by steps. Put it on the grill in the summer.
So this is, it's a cooking utensil.
It's both. Yes, like a cooking vehicle and also like a plate you could serve on just for a little added sophistication, perhaps. Looks cool.
Not familiar. I've not seen one of these in the wild at all.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Like in a restaurant or at anyone's house.
No, I don't think I've ever seen one in a restaurant. But they could be cooking with them.
Yeah, all right.
But, you know, just not. I've never been served
on a salt plate.
Not one
of those things that people bring out to a table with things on fire, in other words, as far as you
I
know.
Think that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's correct. But I just love, like, dabbling, you know? That's what it's not going to be every day, the salt plate, but just sort of to dabble with it.
Sure, yeah. All right. I look forward to more
salt
stories about your adventures with the salt plate.
The Sugar Bowl is underway, so Georgia got the ball first and eventually punted. They must have had 4th-and-21 or something because there was a running into the kicker penalty against Notre Dame, which is like classic. Not that running into the kicker would be literally in a dictionary, but sort of the picture in the dictionary.
Absolutely smashed the crap out of that punter.
Blasted right through his extended leg.
Right.
5-yard penalty.
I can't believe that was only 5 yards.
Didn't the, I'm sort of asking Zach maybe, or you just rhetorically, I feel like the Georgia, was it Texas? They played SEC championship.
Yep.
Didn't the Georgia punter just get wrecked in that game too and leave?
Yep.
And then they didn't have to punt again? They called a fake punt.
They ended up pulling the fake punt like a drive later, and no one was prepared for it.
And that worked because the punter was injured. I wonder if it's the same kid. Like, he's back from that. Because the quarterback did not come back from injury.
Back is out, correct. Right. Yeah.
But
Georgia, yeah, I've
watched 5 college football games this year, and this is the second one I've seen the Georgia
punter get wrecked.
Punter get injured. The other one, the Texas one, I don't think was on a punt. I think it was on like a tackle or something. The guy was injured downfield. More respectable. Well, if you're a punter and you were getting hurt, wouldn't you want it to be like you had a touchdown-saving tackle
then
or something?
Yeah, some guy trying to block your punt and missing and completely annihilating your leg, which is basically what happened there.
Not that that's your fault, but
right. Just
not as cool. No score, first quarter. Notre Dame has the ball now in the Sugar Bowl, rescheduled from last night. Sal joins us at 5. We'll talk some more NFL playoff picture, week 18 for most of the rest of the day. How about this Pro Bowl? 2 Bills. 9 Ravens. 2 Bills. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.